It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach and CEO of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. And for my listening audience, that does also include two subsidiaries, Previsor Corporation, that has really revolutionized the dental insurance industry, as well as our general agency, CS1, formerly known as Combined Services. This show, this radio program, has given me a great opportunity to feature esteemed colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental. It's gotten and it's enabled me to feature a number of not-for-profit organizations. It's also allowed me to inculcate various, you know, wellness themes. Last week's show was very interesting. We talked with Melissa Jurkhuis, and basically she heads up Tech Women, Tech Girls, which is basically the organization that is trying to get more women involved with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, as well as, you know, the overall technology. And still, it was interesting what some of the things, you know, that Melissa said was that still, even today, and she's been at it, you know, for a quarter of a century, still the vast majority of her colleagues in technology still are male. So we're trying to work with the High Tech Council to really get more and more women in the field. So what's great is that Northeast Delta Dental sponsors the annual Tech Women annual luncheon, and that the High Tech Council is really taking on this initiative. So Melissa was great, and I know she stimulated a lot of conversation. For my running friends, just a big shout out. There were two races last weekend, the 28th and 29th. There was Go Gray in May, which was in Bristol. I love these local New Hampshire races. And then, of course, huge race in the Seacoast, in the Stratum area, for Chief Maloney Unity Run. He was the officer that was tragically killed a few years ago, and it's a point-to-point. It was a point-to-point 10K, and there was a huge, huge turnout, so it was great to see all my running friends. But this weekend with me is the world-famous senior dental consultant, amongst many other talents, hidden and overt, Dr. Richard Berryman of the Concord area, and Richard's been a great, great colleague of mine at Northeast Delta Dental Plus. He's done way more than that. So thank you for joining me this weekend. Hard to believe it's the first week in May already, correct?
I think spring might finally be here.
And of course, I know that you're back from Arizona at the dental consultant meeting, so I appreciate your commitment to you know, professional development. So I think, I know when I've had you on before and we've talked more about Rotary, but people do comment they're really, you know, I think there's a lot of New Hampshire people like this. I call them hidden gems, all these people like yourself that have done great things, and people have maybe never heard of Richard Berryman. So why don't you kind of describe all the things you've done with the Dental Society, with Delta, you know, as an active practicing dentist, as well as, you know, your work with the Rotary. I think people always find that interesting.
Oh, well, I came to New Hampshire with my wife and two daughters in 1975 and ran a private dental practice until 2008, which time I retired. Still did some part-time work at Valley Street Jail in Manchester, and then a couple of years at Concord Hospital's clinic. Rotary, I've been in Rotary since 1976 and past president of the Concord Rotary Club. And 3 years ago, I was the district governor for 60 Rotary clubs in southern New Hampshire and southern Vermont. Other than that, for the last 9.5 years, I've worked part-time at Northeast Delta Dental as a dental consultant. And it's been really interesting using my experience and knowledge to on the other side to determine benefits for people and do it in a just and fair manner.
Definitely, you've added a lot of credibility to our company, because obviously you were practicing for many years, and I know one of your colleagues, Dr. Mitch Curray, works for us as well. And one of the things I like to say is, you know, we obviously, unlike maybe some other insurance companies that outsource, you know, claim review, we'd rather have the people in-house so that if a participating dentist or a non-participating dentist has a question on a review. They get to talk to you directly, correct?
Correct. I think that's one of the great things about Northeast Delta Dental, and we constantly hear that from dental offices. Hey, I can call up Northeast Delta, and I can actually talk to a human dentist about my concerns or about a claim or how do I code this because this is a procedure I don't do very often, and let me explain it to you, and we give them the correct codes as well as we can.
That's great to hear. And as long as I'm the head coach, I mean, that's our intent. And we also, for regular customer service as well, we have the greatest customer service reps. You don't have to go through a phone tree or a menu. You'll get a human being. And so for the more routine questions that go right into customer service, I also get that same comment, how pleasurable it is that I call, get a human being. Many of the customer service reps, you know, have maybe were hygienists in the past, so they have knowledge, and of course they don't even go on the phones until they have a great deal of knowledge. So the onboarding is we take very much care in that. So we'll continue to do that as well on the professional sides of things, because as people may know, the Delta Dental Triangle, really we're supposed to, and I think we do a pretty good job of this, balance the interests of our participating dentists. We want to be fair to them, we want to pay them fairly. And compared to other Delta plans, I think we do a good job of that. We want our patients, our subscribers, to have a broad choice of dentists that they can go to. And we still have over 90% of our dentists in our Premier network. And then of course, at purchasers, the employers who actually pay the bills, they want the lowest price in today's world, but they realize they're willing to pay, you know, a little bit more for the great service that they get in the broad network. So I call that, I'm doing my job, Richard, if everybody's just slightly discontented.
And right.
And what I mean by that is not disconnect, discontented, because generally they're happy, but if you think of it, we as subscribers or as patients, we wish that 100% of the dentists were in the network, not 92%. But if we did that, that means we'd be paying way more out, in which case no one would be buying our product because the purchasers, the prices would be out of sight. Obviously, purchasers want a lower price, but they're willing to pay a little bit more because they like the fact that 90%+ of the dentists in the network and they get this great service. And of course, our participating dentists would, you know, they wish maybe we were paying a little bit more, but they realize that compared to other Delta plans, you know, we're fair. So it all works together. And when that triangle is in balance, things hum along quite nicely, Richard, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. Yes.
And in the when I started, it was, it was a shaky balance first couple of years of my career here. Let's put it this way. We just had our New Hampshire annual meeting on Friday, April 20th. And if you don't count our board members who are participating dentists on our board, we only had like four or five dentists show up in the past if they were unhappy. A lot more than that would show up. So in any event, but let's get right to it. One of the things, you know, that one of the themes, you know, at our annual meeting was everybody deserves a healthy smile. And people are always surprised when they hear me say this. We want people to go to the dentist. You know, one of the reasons why I think we have a lot of passionate employees is that we feel like we are doing good for society, because it's just basically, it's a statistical fact. I mean, if you have dental coverage, you go to the dentist way more often than if you don't have dental coverage. So we want people to go to the dentist because if you go early and often, you're going to avoid the bigger health issues, you know, down the road. So talk about dental erosion.
Well, I think in when you're talking about dental diseases, education is important as it is in any subject. And educating people as far as the prevention of the disease is even more important. Prevention is cheap. You avoid the pains, the troubles of treatment. And but I think when we talk about tooth erosion, especially with regarding acid-containing drinks, I think we first have to review the natural process of tooth decay. Everybody knows that if you don't brush your teeth or floss your teeth, you get this sticky film on your teeth. And that film is called plaque, and it's full of bacteria. And there are two bacteria, Streptococcus bacteria, that take the sugars that we eat, and they like sugar too, and they convert it to acid. And when that acid is held in the sticky film against your tooth for weeks and months and even years, it slowly dissolves the minerals in your teeth, the calcium and phosphorus mainly, but But it usually attacks very specific surfaces, the chewing surfaces of back teeth, and then the surfaces that the toothbrush can't reach where you've got a tooth next to each other, so what we call the mesial and distal surfaces of the teeth. So that ends up creating specific holes, which usually the dentist then diagnoses and removes the decay and puts some kind of filling or restoration in there and solves the problem. By educating people as to how they can prevent those diseases, that's the most important thing. But today we're talking about something a little different. We're talking about erosion of teeth. And instead of having specific spots on your teeth where the, quote, decay or cavity happens, we're talking about the entire tooth. And we mainly talk about soft drinks. And we mainly talk about the acid that is in soft drinks. If you look at the ingredients in a soft drink, the number one ingredient is carbonated water, which is carbonic acid. Number two ingredient is usually phosphoric acid. Number three would be sugar or maybe artificial sweetener. And that can be a false thought, too, because people would come to me and say, well, I drink diet, so there's no sugar in it, so it doesn't cause the decay. It's not sugar that causes the decay. It's the acid that causes the decay. And so every time you put a soft drink into your mouth, you are essentially bathing your teeth in acid. And if we look at the pH, now if you're as old as I am and you're many, many, many years removed from your high school biology and chemistry, pH is simply a scale of how acidic or how basic something is. So we take 7, the scale goes from 0 to 14. 7 is neutral, and 7 is essentially water. That's the neutral standard. Any number that's lower than 7 is acidic. So if you had a 6.5, that's not going to be very acidic. It's probably not going to cause much problem. If you have a 8.5, that's basic, and so that's be like baking soda, which is one of the reasons why I always recommend that people use toothpaste that have baking soda in it, because it neutralizes the acids.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Here this weekend, May 5th and 6th, I'm with Dr. Richard Berryman, who's our great senior dental consultant at Northeast Delta Dental. And as you heard before the commercial break, has had a long career as an active participating dentist in the Concord area from 1975 to 2008, and worked as well at Concord Hospital. And of course, is a huge leader in the roadie, huge meaning in terms of his leadership skills. But we want to get right back into soft drinks and sports drinks and so forth, and the whole concept of dental erosion. So let's get right into it. Finish up on the soft drinks, but then do spend some time on sports drink, because I do, you know, when I used to do coaching, and then even now when I'm out and about, people say, well, you know, I'm now drinking, you know, sports drinks instead of you know, soft drinks, but that isn't necessarily better because it has some of the same issues. So let's get right into it, Richard.
Okay, so we were talking about pH, and a pH scale is a little different. It's really a logarithmic scale. So if something has a pH of 3 and another thing has a pH of 4, that's not a difference of 1. It's a difference of 10. So the 3 is actually 10 times more acidic than the 4. So just to give you a summary of some of the more common soft drinks. Let's take Sprite. Sprite has a pH of 3.42. Pepsi's probably one of the worst, 2.49. Dr. Pepper, 2.92. So we're looking here somewhere between 2.5 and 4 for most soft drinks.
I'm a little disappointed that Mountain Dew's only at the 3.34, because as you know, when we do sponsor still the Vertical Challenge, which raises money for Make-A-Wish, and our participating dentists get, you know, coupons to get discounts on skiing. So, but more importantly, we raise money for Make-A-Wish. But for years, you know, one of the co-sponsors was Mountain Dew, so I would get like 2 or 3 letters a year saying it was the worst. But looking at your list here, it looks like Diet 7-Up is worse than Diet Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah.
I'm disappointed, Richard.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, when my daughters were in school, you know, in the elementary schools or middle school or Concord High, it was very common for Coke or Pepsi or Dr. Pepper or whatever to come in and say, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of money and we'll provide you with a beautiful scoreboard and we'll provide you with this and this if you put our machines in your school. And so they did. And then after a while, people started learning that, Well, wait a minute. Maybe these drinks aren't as healthy as they. Now, let's back off a minute and say, if you drink one or two cans of Coke a week, is that going to hurt you? Probably not. Because you can look at orange juice. Orange juice has a pH of 3.75. Grapefruit juice, 3.22. Kool-Aid, 2.85. Even some things like Sobe Life water, 3.5. So if you just drink, you know, one glass a day or a couple a week, it's not going to do that much harm. But
and that was my line at when I was at the ski events and a dentist or someone, I'd say, well, I would almost verbatim say what you said. Plus, it also gives me the opportunity to get the oral health message out. And of course, if you drink that, if you're brushing and flossing afterwards, obviously that's going to help the situation. So I always said that, you know, in moderation and assuming you take care of your teeth right after that, you're still okay. And it allowed me to get the oral health message out. I noticed that battery acid is on here. So people aren't drinking battery acid.
But it gives you a reference. Battery acid is one, you know, so that's...
Pepsi isn't too far from that,
yeah.
Though.
But, you know, for years I had patients who would say they wanted to lose weight. And so they would have a can of Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi or something like that on their desk. And they would just sip at it all day long to keep something in their stomach. So every time they put some of that soft drink in their mouth, they're bathing their teeth with acid for 20 minutes. So exposure like that, the entire tooth is just being essentially dissolved away, which is what we call erosion, whether it's eroding riverbank or a mountain or whatever, you're just losing structure. So that's the difference between conventional tooth decay and erosion.
So when you were a dentist and you saw that trend because you knew an adult was dieting or the kid was just drinking a sports drink, I mean, through education and counseling, what would you do at that point as a physician?
Well, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one, if you are having a soft drink, you know, try and rinse your mouth with water and afterwards, just swish it around and at least dilute it. Don't drink those soft drinks late at night before you go to bed, because obviously when we go to bed, our saliva glands rest too, and our mouth doesn't have as water. We wake up in the morning with a dry mouth. So the drier our mouth is, the more concentrated those acids are. And you were talking about sports drinks. There's a lot of people who say, well, geez, okay, I'm not going to drink Coke or Pepsi or Mountain Dew or anything now.
But I drink Gatorade.
But I'm going to drink Gatorade, or I'm going to drink Powerade, or I'm going to drink vitamin water. Well, Gatorade has a pH, mainly due to citric acid, of 2.99. Powerade, 2.75. Powerade, 0, 2.93. Vitamin water, 3 to 3.2. You know, and you see vitamin water with acai or blueberry or pomegranate, you think, wow, that's got to be pretty healthy for me. 2.98. So all of these, again, the whole key is if you're going to drink them in moderation. Don't drink them like on TV where the athletes are just sucking down the Gatorade and saying, this is replenishing all of my stuff I'm losing through the perspiration or whatever.
And I see Dr. Pepper on the list as 2.92. And of course, they've just been purchased by Keurig, one of our big dental clients. And so, you know, we're going to be bringing on Dr. Pepper as a dental client. But again, same thing. You can have a Dr. Pepper every once in a while as long as you brush and gargle.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize enough. If you're going to buy a toothpaste that has baking soda in it, because it's neutralizing those acids. And there is some false advertising in there. And I also told my patients that the best toothpaste you can buy with regard to the baking soda is Arm & Hammer, because Arm & Hammer toothpaste is about 65% baking soda. And some people say, well, it tastes salty and, you know, it doesn't taste so great, but it's the most effective. Crest and Colgate, of course, they want to keep their market share, and so they will come out with a Colgate with baking soda and fluoride, and Crest has baking. And you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 5% baking soda, which isn't near as effective.
And of course, you want toothpaste that has the fluoride in it as
correct.
Well.
Correct, yeah, because fluoride, obviously, we're not talking about fluoride here, but let me just do a little education. The reason we put fluoride in our drinking water or water supplies is because as the tooth is forming inside the child's body, fluoride is a naturally occurring element. It is incorporated in the enamel and structure of the tooth, and fluoride is much harder to dissolve away in acid than calcium or phosphorus. The reason we put it in our toothpaste is because if your tooth is clean, that fluoride will deposit on the surface of your tooth and once again give you more protection.
So you started by saying the importance of education. So let's kind of, through sort of a lightning round, just sort of hit some topics. So when we were raising our children, or certainly when my parents were raising me, the thought was, you know, get your toddler into the dentist by 4. But now we're saying, you know, by age 1 and or when the first tooth erupts. Tell us the evolution of that science or thought.
Yeah, the old philosophy that I was educated in the late 60s and early 70s is, you know, a child should go to the dentist when they're 3 years old and all their baby teeth are in. But too many times that's way too late. The parents haven't been educated. The parents really, from a manual dexterity standpoint, a young person or a child or a young person really doesn't have the dexterity to properly brush and clean their mouth until they're about 8 or 9 years old. So mom and dad have a new responsibility, or additional responsibility. They've got to get in there and make sure the teeth are clean. With now, what we want to do is, again, we want to educate the parents as early as possible. So we get the child in when they're 1 year old. We don't put them in a dental chair. We put them in the parent's lap, leaning back with their head in the dentist's lap, knee to knee, and we just take a look. And we educate the parents as to what plaque is, what causes tooth decay. Don't have to worry about gum disease so much with children, but how to keep, even if you just wipe the teeth with a washcloth, after they drink their milk or breastfeed or whatever, just get that, because there's nothing better to grow bacteria in than milk. And that's, again, why you shouldn't put your child to bed with a bottle of milk or a bottle of Pepsi or a bottle of, you know, Dr. Pepper.
Now, you segued into, you know, culturally and so forth. You know, there was a time where people would, in an effort to get the baby to fall asleep, you know, put the baby to bed, you know, with the bottle. And why don't you again describe why that's really not a good idea?
Yeah, it's called bottle syndrome. And essentially what happens is the child will suck on the bottle while asleep, but doesn't swallow. So the milk or the soft drink just lays in the mouth. Typically the tongue holds it against the upper teeth. So the what we see is tremendous rates of decay on upper front teeth in children. Not seeing it too much anymore because people are more and more aware these days.
They're starting to get that. And part of that is, and we had Eleanor Vienne, who works with Richard. She's our director of provider affairs. We have a program called PANDA, which stands for Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness. And one of the pieces of that program is educating the world of this baby bottle syndrome. And, of course, a lot of it's cultural. You know, quite candidly, we've all been parents. We've all had those days where you just can't get the baby to bed, and we've all been tempted to do that, but you can't. I mean, you know, so anyway. So.
Yeah, my one daughter, trying to get her to go to sleep at night was a real chore. So we used to put her in the child seat in the car and drive it around, and within about half an hour, she'd fall asleep, and then we'd carry her up and put her to bed, and she was fine.
Yeah. Would you just give 30 seconds on why, you know, going to the dentist, you know, twice a year is a good benchmark and proxy? It was really based on radio commercials and so forth.
Exactly. No two people are the same. And we've, for years and years and years, the dental profession has treated them the same. You need to come in twice a year for a clean. You need to have x-rays every year. You need to do this. You need to do that. But everybody's different. And, you know, if you're a person who's, say, 30 years old and you've never had a cavity in your life and you take good care of your mouth, why do you need all that? Yet, on the other hand, if you are someone who maybe has a medical problem, diabetes, you're pregnant, you may need to go more often. So people need to be treated with the risk assessment of that particular individual. And that's what Previsor does. There's a mydentalscore.com. You can get on your computer. And you simply answer about a dozen questions or so, and it'll give you a score. For example, I grew up not going to the dentist unless I had a problem, as most of us did back then.